North Rock Podcast.
Well, good morning, North Rock, or those of you at North Rock that either own four-wheel drives, are Colorado natives, right, or not afraid of the snow, one or the other, right? Or those that just really need a fresh touch from the Lord this morning, right, to brave the elements, to get here to be with us. So we're really glad, and I feel really honored to have you with us today. And today we are continuing in our series called Healthy Habits. So if you've been here for some of the last weeks, we decided to start the year not just in a season of prayer and fasting, but look really taking an in-depth look at each area of our lives, kind of looking into the different areas, the compartments of our lives, and seeing where we're at and how we're doing with that, okay? So for the last several weeks, we've been talking about things like emotional health, physical health, rhythms of rest in our lives. And today I get to bring a word about healthy relationships. So put your seatbelts on because it's going to get a little rocky in here, y'all. Okay? So the reason that we do this is because we understand that all of those compartments make up parts of our lives, right? That each of those areas are very important and that God has set himself above every one of those areas, okay? Because we want to be a people that understand that when God comes into our lives in a relationship with Jesus, it's a holistic experience, right? That he's redeemed everything in us, everything that has to do with our lives, right? Because for us not to believe that would actually be what they used to call Gnosticism. So turn to somebody and say Gnosticism. Just because it's the only time you'll ever say that, right? It's the only time you'll ever say that. So the whole idea is that there's this dualistic approach in their theology that I can have my physical life over here and the things that just go on in my life, and then there's this whole spiritual side too that's God, and they're not interconnected. How many of you guys believe with me that to do that is really just to diminish our experience, that all of our lives are connected in Christ, amen? So we're created to be naturally supernatural beings. So with that said, I thought a great place for us to start today is in Colossians chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, you can start getting prepared for that. It's the Apostle Paul writing to that church talking about that very issue that everything in life and faith affects our life and faith, right? That's pretty simple. It's pretty simple to say. In other words, all aspects of our lives, our time, our energy, our money, our work, sex. Yes, the pastor said sex in church, right? I know y'all are doing it. And if you're not, then that's a problem too, okay? But that's not today's topic. All the people, our body, our mind, our behavior, all the stuff that happens in our life, all the stuff that we have is all connected to our private and our whole life. It all matters. And God has set himself above that and redeemed all of it. Amen? So let's pray and let's jump into the word today. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your heart to us. Lord, that you are the one who redeems all situations. And so, Lord, even as we delve into this idea of relationships, Lord, I know that we've got some hurting hearts here today. I know that we've got some relationships that are still in development. And so we just ask you to minister to us the way that only you can. But Lord, we submit ourselves to your word and living a life that honors you and that allows you to give us the very most health that we can have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you don't have a Bible, it's okay. We're going to throw it up on behind me here. And it's kind of a lengthy passage. It's the first 17 verses. But in it, I think what we see are five different pieces that will help us have healthier relationships in 2018, okay? So let's read it together. Verse 1 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Verse 5 says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. you used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all of these such things. Like, wasn't the first list enough, right? Here's a second list. All right, so here's the other part of the list. Anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of, in the image of the Creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself. In other words, put these things on. Clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's a good place for an amen, right? A lot of good stuff in there. I'm going to start having Ben do my readings for me, because like when Ben reads a scripture, it sounds like, you know, sounds like he's rapping, right? So it's just good stuff. So, but let me start off this sensitive topic today by acknowledging that relationships are hard. Like all the other stuff that we've talked about up to this point in this series have been difficult, but relationships are hard. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one is we can do everything right within our power to have a relationship go well and still not have it go well. You guys realize that? It's like a totally different animal, because we can't control the other person or the people or the group that we're trying to control, right? The second reason is that people can be difficult. Like, people can be mean. People can force you to listen to 80s music for really long road trips, right? People can make chewing noises in your ear while you're trying to watch a movie at a theater. People can take up more than their fair share of the road or go 30 miles under the speed limit in the snow when you're trying to get to church, right? Those kind of things, right? So, I mean, it's no wonder that there are many, many people that just come to the point where they just say, you know what, I just realized that there's strife in my relationships, and that's just the way it's going to be. Can I tell you that that's not God's plan for us? That he not only wants us to have healthy relationships, but he wants to use our lives to help redeem relationships for other people that may not know him yet. So, author and pastor Pete Scazzaro says that you cannot be spiritually mature unless you are also emotionally healthy. I would suggest today that the litmus test for our spiritual health and our emotional health are the relationships in our lives. Yikes, right? Like, wait a minute, what does my relationship with them have to do with God? In other words, the health of our relationships are an indication of spiritual and emotional health. Big exhale. Everybody breathe in, breathe out. And relationships are so worth it. They're so worth the work, okay? But that's not to say that there's not work involved. Did you know that scientific studies show that longevity, medical and mental health, happiness and wisdom are all impacted by our most supportive relationships in our lives? Dr. Daniel Seigel said that. Martin Seligman, an author and psychologist, said, other people are the very best antidotes to the ups and downs in our life and the single most reliable up. So I ask you the question today, as we've gathered in all this snow as the frozen chosen, the ones that had the courage to come out to church this morning, what's the state of your relationships right now? And I know that there's a lot of relationships that you're managing and navigating, some good, some not so good, some hard, some easy. But I don't like to just come to church and just hear a message that's just bland and blank. I want you guys to really think through and allow the Holy Spirit to speak into the relationships that you're navigating right now. And I can tell you that even as I asked that question, I know you guys felt something, didn't you? If the relationships are hard, we felt that little twinge in our heart, like, oh, yeah, there's that one guy, right? Because the reality is there are difficult people in this world, right? And if you don't know any difficult people, one, I'd be happy to introduce you to some. And two, you just might be that person, right? Because if you don't recognize that other people are difficult, then you're probably the difficult one, right? And don't say anything about your past because I already know that I'm difficult. Don't worry about that. I got that part down, right? That I have that. But we all felt something. And to me, that is the encouragement of this message today, is that what we just read in Colossians chapter 3 is not only true of that group that Paul was ministering to, that Jesus gave himself for in Colossians, right? It's also true of us as we sit here today. So let's talk about five ways that we can enjoy healthier relationships. Anybody up for believing God for healthier relationships in 2018? Yeah. Anybody looking for some more relationships in 2018? Yeah. I hope so, because that's all I got today. That's all we're talking about, okay? So number one is we need to realize that we were created for relationships. That's what the first four verses of Colossians was talking about. This relationship with God that he's given to us and how he, because of the relationship that he's given us, has allowed us to respond to him out of his grace and his provision in our life. I have a concern that living in such a busy and distracted society leads us to neglect connection in our lives. Leads us to settle for less than authentic relationships. If you will, synthetic relationships. Many people settle for those that are just kind of surface level, socially mediated, and we've become more and more of a lonely culture because we've lowered the bar of what a relationship is and what it is to be, right? Good news is that we have a choice. Good news is that God intended for us to enjoy deep, long-lasting relationships with others. But before we enjoy them with him, we've got to be sure that we have one with him, right? Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 through 22 says this, "And through him, God reconciled everything in Christ." Or better yet, let me back up. "And through God, through him, God reconciled everything to himself." That's good news, church. Everything has been reconciled through God. Through Christ, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his presence, into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand here before him without a single fault. Now, can I just tell you right now, there's a battle going on inside of your head to what that said and how we feel most of the time, right? That's why our feelings are so hard to trust. We may not feel that, but that doesn't mean that it's not true. And if we're going to have healthy relationships, if we're going to be able to have healthy relationships, we got to remember that we were created for a purpose, and that purpose is to have a relationship with our Creator. Do you guys know that that's why he created us? Before all of the other things he's gifted us to do, all the other things he wants to accomplish in our lives, he created us for relationship. And until we settle that issue, we're going to struggle. We're going to go from one relationship to the next, to the next, to the next, looking for the things that only he can give us, right? So, second point that I wanted to make is simply this. That we need to let primary relationships be primary and secondary relationships be secondary in our lives. Let me back up just for a moment because I think this fits here better than it does where I have it in my message. See, when it comes to relationships, if we don't settle this issue of God loving us, God meeting every need in our lives, God giving us purpose, God giving us the love that only He can give because He's perfect and no one else is, then what we end up doing is stumbling through life looking for those things in people, right? Am I preaching truth today? And sometimes it looks like a good deal, like it looks all shiny on the outside. And then you get with them and you realize, hey, they got flaws like me. And I'm not a fan of their flaws, right? And that's when conflict rolls in, right? And so it's something like this, that instead of us really being right with Him and experiencing the wholeness that only He can give us, to where we're not insecure with the relationships that we have because He's always there and He's always perfect in our lives, that we go through life finding relationships. Like, we're going to call this one Carl. I hope there's not a Carl in here, because in the first service, the name I used, they were in here, and it was a really awkward deal, okay? But we go and we find a Carl, and Carl is a good friend, and we enjoy spending time with Carl. And then after a while, Carl has life happen, and Carl loses some of the shine on his life, and Carl disappoints us, and Carl says some mean things, and Carl, you fill in the blank. And what we're tempted to do is take that and throw it away, right? And that's hard, because it's a relationship, it's a person, it's somebody that we care about, it's somebody who cared about us. And we thought this was going to be it with Carl, because Carl was a great guy. And he said he loved me, right? So then we go find a Judy. Right? We find a Judy, and Judy has some other attributes than Carl. And so it enamors us, and we're excited about this relationship, and we start spending time with them, and we start pouring ourselves into them, and they start pouring themselves into us. And then after a while, life happens, settles into some of the mundane ruts and rules of life. We stop giving it the attention that we gave at the early part, right? When we were really into Carl, or we were really into whatever I named this cup, right? And what do? Throw it away, right? Throw it away. And then Sherry and Mark, Sally, Bill, Frida. Come on, give me a name here. Somebody. Profina, I like it. That's good. That's good. You guys get the point, right? And until we make first things first, until we settle the issue that we have a God who created us for relationship with each other, but first with Him. And we go through life throwing away a lot of good relationships that God wanted us to have. Okay, second point is this. I already said it. Primary relationships need to be primary in our lives. Secondary relationships need to be secondary. Okay, I got a video that I want to illustrate this with, so let's go ahead and roll that.
There's a well-known story about a university professor who wanted to make a point about how we make the most of our time. The professor stood before his class with some items in front of him. When the class began, without speaking, he picked up a large empty jar and proceeded to fill it with rocks about 2 inches in diameter. He then asked the students if the jar was full. They agreed that it was full. So the professor then picked up a box of pebbles and poured them into the jar. He shook the jar lightly and watched as the pebbles rolled into the open areas between the rocks. The professor then asked the students again if the jar was full. They chuckled and agreed that it was indeed full this time. The professor picked up a box of sand and poured it into the jar. The sand filled the remaining open areas of the jar. Now, said the professor, I want you to recognize that this jar signifies your life. The rocks are the truly important things, such as family, health, and relationships. If all else was lost and only the rocks remained, your life would still be meaningful. The pebbles are the other things that matter in your life, such as work or school. The sand signifies the remaining small stuff and material possessions. If you were to put sand into the jar first, there is no room for the rocks or the pebbles. The same can be applied to your lives. If you spend all your time and energy on the small stuff, you will never have room for the things that are truly important. Pay attention to the things in life that are critical to your happiness and well-being. Take time to look after your health, play with your children, go for a run, write a letter to your grandmother. There will always be time to go to work, clean the house, or watch TV. Take care of the rocks first. The things that really matter, set your priorities. The rest is just pebbles and sand.
That's good, right? The rest is pebbles and sand. And we spend so much time and energy managing the sand in our lives that we can sometimes forget about the bigger, the boulders, the rocks that God wants to have as a part of our lives, okay? So, first point is just simply that. Let the first things be first. Jesus, and then from him, our families, our friends, our faith community, and others find their right place in our lives and in the jar, if you will. Because of this, this is the truth about that relationship. And I know I'm talking to church people, you get it. You're like, yeah, Pastor, we got it. Jesus first, got it, right? But I'm not so sure we get it sometimes because we're so distracted by the many sounds, the many challenges that we have in this life. That the first relationship really does redeem the rest. That the only way we can live out Colossians chapter 3, all the stuff that he says don't and do, is through that relationship with him, through his empowerment and through our sense of life being set by his direction. Let me try it this way. So first relationship redeems the rest. It sets all the others up. It's just like for those of you that cook, right? How many of you guys cook? Yeah, a lot of people cook. Okay, that's good. You don't have to raise your hand. I know everybody cooks. Okay. Yeah, cereal works. That's kind of how I cook. Yeah. And that's really the point that I'm getting ready to make is you know, I was trying to come up with something for lunch for the girls the other day, and I saw I was just looking around, looking for, you know, instant mac and cheese and, you know, the go-tos for dads, right, that don't cook because I don't cook very much. And I happened to run across these two packets in the cabinet. One of them is for brown gravy, and one of them is ranch. And the interesting part of these two packets, as different as they are, is that the instructions on it are very simple. They just say, just add water. So you add water to this packet, and you get brown gravy that looks like that, with pork chops underneath it or whatever that meat is. And, like I was so disappointed the first time I just added water to this because it's not very good gravy. And those other parts weren't included, right? Or ranch, right? So I use that as just a simple illustration to remind us that sometimes we go marching into relationships forgetting that if we'll just add Jesus to it, things will go a lot smoother. That if we'll ask Jesus if that's the relationship that he wants us in, if we'll allow Jesus to direct those steps for us, if we'll call upon him to give us the love for that person, if we'll call upon him to help us to keep that together, then we'll have better results in our relationships. So, just add Jesus is as simple as just add water, because when we add Jesus to no matter how difficult the relationship is, because I'm telling you, I know there's tough relationships in this place. I've got them, you've got them. Because sometimes we can't control the other person, we can't ever, but sometimes we can't help it. But as soon as we add Jesus to it, it adds hope to the situation. It adds hope to that recipe for relationships that are healthy and thriving, right? So let me go at it this way. Practice this with me, would you? So it's this idea of, okay, Pastor, you don't understand though. Like, this relationship is really hard, and the finances are difficult, and I've been hurt, and this happened, and that happened. And I'm standing before you saying, I know all that is true. I know it's true. I know it's hard. I know it's painful. I know it hurts. But if we'll add Jesus to that conversation, well, just by adding "and Jesus" to the end of that statement, it changes everything, doesn't it? Why? Because it offers us hope. It reminds us not just that those things are true about what we've experienced, but that Jesus is alive and he's at work in the midst of those situations, right? How many of you guys today are believing for stronger, more connected, more healthy relationships in 2018? I hope it's all of us, because we all need it, right? So here's the way it works. So when those self-defeating thoughts come rushing in or negativity comes crashing through our doors, if we'll add to the end of that statement, and Jesus, then in Jesus, we are reconnected, we're reconciled, and we're restored. And we're relationally reconnectors, reconcilers, and restorers for other people. But it takes relationship with him to know how to navigate them, okay? Simple enough. One more illustration, because I really want to hammer this point home, right? That the most important, the most profound relationship that we can have in this world is with Jesus. That when he gets our first and our best, everything else seems to line up. When he gets to be the sand in my life, all of a sudden, all kinds of other stuff in my life starts going haywire, right? But we just talked about a baptism that we're doing when? Hey, somebody listen to the announcements. That is so encouraging to your pastor. Thank you. Sometimes you wonder. So February 11th, get signed up for that. But the whole idea, the baptism symbolism that is our whole life that goes under the water, right? And then it's Jesus' life with us that comes out of the water. It's that simple that if we'll remember, if I'll just add water to this relationship, there's hope that comes in. So primary, secondary. Remember that we're all created for relationships. So if the enemy is lying to you right now saying, you're better off alone, you're better off isolated, don't mess with it, they cheaters, right? Don't mess with it, they're mean, don't mess with it, they'll hurt you, don't mess with it, right? They were created for relationship. And the third thing is this, recognize and address causes and patterns in conflict. How many of you guys this morning can be honest enough to say conflict happens? Conflict with the people we love, conflict with the people we don't love. That we're supposed to love, that Jesus loves, so we're trying to learn how to love. Right? That's how it works. He changes our heart as we go, I don't really like that person. And then Colossians 3, and we go, oh, yeah, that's me, my stuff. Right? So I really think that in order for us to recognize and address the causes and the patterns in conflict in our lives, that's what verses 5 through 11 were that we just looked at. And I found three keys in there that'll help us. First one is we've got to be willing to own our own stuff. So if you came here today thinking you don't have stuff, it's my privilege and honor to remind you have stuff. I have stuff, you have stuff, we have stuff. And so if we'll own our part of it, if we'll recognize that it's our own part of it, if we recognize that we play a part in the equation of conflict in relationships because of that, right, then we'll have stronger, more robust, more healthy relationships in the future. So take care of first things first, and then we look to fill others up. Healthy relationships start with us owning our own stuff. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15 gives this warning to the church in Galatia. So it wasn't just Colossia that was having problems. It was Galatia, too, where it's a spiritual community of people. And he reminds them, he says, hey, if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Because beware of destroying one another. Right? That's about owning your own stuff. That's about reminding ourselves that it's not always the other person's fault. Right? Sometimes I can get, spiritual blinders on and be like, well, if they didn't do that, then I wouldn't do this. And the reality is we've got stuff that we've got to take to the Lord and trust that we are that holy and unblemished person that he says we are as his children, and that we can bring that to him and he can deal with it. Because here's what I know about our Father, that he is good, good God, and that he is willing to heal us in those areas that we hurt. Like, that's the only way it happens. We take it to him. Nobody else in this world can heal us except him when we lay it before him. Okay? So let's move on from owning our own stuff. I think I've belabored that point enough. I can tell because you guys are like looking at me mean. Got some difficult people in the crowd today, Andrew. Maybe not. Second part is forgiveness, because that's always easy. Like owning our stuff, piece of cake. Forgiving others, especially those that don't ask to be forgiven, don't act like they need to be forgiven. It's hard. But Matthew 18, 21 through 35 tells us a lot about forgiveness, but specifically in verses 21 and 22, Peter apparently had some issues of forgiveness in his own life. And he came to Jesus and he asked him, and he says, Lord, how often do I need to forgive somebody who sins against me? Seven times? Like, Peter's a pretty spiritual dude, right? Because usually after I get wounded the first time, I'm like, all right, that's it. You're done. You're dead to me, right? So I could do two, three, maybe. Peter says seven times. And Jesus' response, for most of you guys know this, says, no, not seven times, 70. Like, now, for those of you that are mathematicians and statisticians in the crowd, like, you know the answer to that. I don't even know the math on that. I just know it's a lot. Okay, it's a lot. And the only way that we can ever be expected to forgive that many times is by taking to the one who can put forgiveness in our heart. Remembering that in him we have the ability to navigate life the way Colossians 3 exhorts us to, right? So, you guys have heard the story before, or the saying, right? Fool me once, hurt me once, shame on you. Hurt me twice, hurt me thrice. That's not part of it. Right? But Jesus is saying 7 times, 70 times. Come on, you guys. Right? And so that brings me to this point that, yes, we need to own our own stuff. And, yes, we need to be a people who are forgiving in nature. Like, there's nothing better in a relationship than when we forgive people, not simply for their benefit, but for our own. Right? Because it's all integrated. It's all connected. If I harbor illness in my heart about this person, guess what? It tends to bleed into my other relationships. Okay? So that's why we need to talk just for a moment here about boundaries. And in saying this, there's a great book out there. In fact, there's a series of great books by John Townsend and Henry Cloud that talk about having boundaries in our lives. And so if you're in this place today and you're saying, Pastor, I get everything you're saying. I'm committed to that. I'm committed to asking God to help me forgive people. But I've been in a situation of physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, where somebody has violated my very being and my boundaries in my life, then that's a whole nother animal, and we need to talk more in depth about that, okay? But boundaries, quote from John Townsend and Henry Cloud, says this: Scripture is full of admonitions to separate ourselves from people who act in destructive ways. We are not being unloving. Separating ourselves protects love because we are taking a stand against the things that destroy love, right? Does that make sense? So, own our stuff, forgive often, and set boundaries in our lives, okay? Fourth point is we need to live a life of love, okay? I don't think I need to talk much about that, but that's what's being described in Colossians chapter 3. That's what a community of love does. And part of what we're praying for in this season of increase is that God would increase our love. He would increase our faith. That he would help us to look like the things we read about in the Word, right? How many of you guys, when you read that scripture verse, the 12 through 14, found that to be pretty close to Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23? Almost identical in the list, right? Just a few nuances in the words that they chose. But in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience. It's a good time to test your patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? There is no law against these things. Again, get our eyes on him. Get Jesus first. And a lot of the things that we have strife with people in this world about, it's really just sand. It's not the big things, right? John chapter 17, verse 23 says this. Jesus speaking says, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Just let that settle into your hearts for a moment today. I know Jesus loves me. I know God loves me. It's a whole different thing to know that he loves you the way he loved Jesus. Right? Why? Because he's made it so we could stand blamelessly before him in the loving relationship that he's given us in that first relationship. Okay? You guys still with me? You're still good? All right. I'm glad Jody is. Everybody else is just like, let's keep moving. Final point right here, okay? 5 things that will help us have stronger relationships, healthier relationships, more vibrant relationships in 2018. We need to embrace living as a spiritual community. Do you guys know that there's a relational aspect to being a part of a church life? And I know that the pastor's supposed to say, hey, be a part of the church, because you know, it's really important. And we really want people to feel like they can connect and have a relationship here. But there's that process in coming to a church that's kind of like dating people, right? Where it's like, oh, it's really, yeah, woo. And then the woo sometimes fades a little bit. And the whole idea of bringing us into the woo is so that God can get us connected in life together. So that God can get us connected in life together. We need to be a people who nourish and cherish and guard both family and spiritual friendships and relationships to support one another and to learn how to deal with some of those difficult people in your life, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says this. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Okay, again, we're called to be a body, we're called to be a family, we're called to be a spiritual community. So my encouragement to you today is, as we navigate relationships in our life, as we navigate the own undercurrents of our own heart, which is what Colossians is telling us to do, to have stronger relationships, we're stronger in community together. So I wanted to take this moment, and just as the worship team comes up, thank many of you who reached out to Jody and I. Many of you guys know that Cameron is 12. Last week she got really sick with croup. Most 12-year-olds don't get croup, so we're going to the doctors. We're trying to figure out what's going on. It's the third time in like a year and a half. And so we spent 4 days in Children's because she had an asthmatic response to them treating the croup when we brought her in for that. And I can tell you that it was a hard week. It was a hard week for a lot of reasons, okay? Insurance reasons, money reasons, seeing your baby laying there and can't catch any breath. It's just a hard week. And part of what allowed us to make it through that and to be encouraged through that were the people that reached out from this community. So I want to just take a moment to say publicly to all of you that either did in prayer or actually reached out to us, thank you for that. But I also reinforced what I just said about getting connected to a care group or a serving team here at North Rock. It's not just about being able to serve those outside of us. It's about having people in the front row seats of our lives so they know when hard times come, right? Hard times happen for all of us. But woe it is to the person that's alone when those things happen. And what I can tell you is that the people that reached out to us, we very much appreciate. Those who were part of our home group, those that we know were championing us, those who were, you know, taking care of us in that season, those people that are on my staff and that are, those are closest relationships to me and locking arms with me, like, they didn't ask. Like, they just show up. They're just like, what do we do? How do we help, right? So that's what I'm saying. My prayer is that we all have that. And I know that we're all believing for dreams of relationship, restored relationship in our lives. So before we pass on and leave this place, I want us to be reminded that God has the promise of relationship for you. I know there's some here today struggling with that thought. Is there anybody for me, Lord? There is. And if we'll do life together, we'll probably spot them a little bit easier. Amen. So let's pray. Father, I know that as we talk about these things, Lord, that your Holy Spirit brings your word to rest in our hearts. And Lord, I know that as I've spoken maybe more of a provocative message, touching point on some of the things that ail us in this world, Lord, we want to be a people who gladly lay those at your feet and say, God, we know that those things bring death. We know that those things bring unhealth. We know that those things hurt us and hurt the people in our lives. And so we gladly give them to you, knowing that you are true love. Fill our hearts with the desire to know you first. Fill us with the desire to put you first. And Lord, from that relationship, would you rightly order the rest of the relationships? Lord, I know that there are some here that need to let go of a relationship. I know that there are some here that need to believe again for a healthy relationship. Would you speak that to them as we worship you one more time? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, I understand that wounded people wound people. And I've been wounded, and I've wounded people, and I've been wounded by wounded people. But today what I hear in the message is that in Christ I'm whole again. And that I can operate from that point from here forward. You know, Ben tried to help me by cleaning up the mess that I made up here. But I left it there because I felt like the Holy Spirit in between the first service and the second told me to leave it up here to remind us that there are some of us here today that have relationships that have been scattered like that all around our lives. And we may not feel like we've been healed or whole from that. But the Lord wants to remind you that He is healing, that He has healed you, and that He wants to teach you to live not as wounded wounders, but as whole and healing hands. So if that's for you today, that's why it's a mess on the stage. Okay? With that being said, every week we take some time in our services to pray a prayer that we pray every single day, because the first relationship redeems the rest, right? And until we can stand confident that Jesus Himself has a relationship with us and we have a relationship with Him, then it's really hard to do the other relationships in our lives. So we're going to pray a prayer right now that we normally pray every single week, and that I'm continuing to talk through because I can tell that the music has faded. So let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I invite You into my life. I believe that You died on the cross for my sin and that You rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to You the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the Scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following You in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, 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 amen. So two things I'll promise you. If you choose to live in community, if you choose to trust God for healthy relationships this year, two things, okay? One, you will be wounded again. And two, the spiritual community will help you become whole again. That's what happens. As a pastor who's been in this church for over 20 years, I've been wounded more times than I'd like to be counted, but I've also been healed. And that's the promise of the Holy Spirit in our midst, amen? So, as you leave, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time today, I'd love to meet you. We've got a gift to help you get started in this journey with Jesus. If you need prayer for any need in your life, we have people available for that. Otherwise, be safe out on those roads. Enjoy this nice, sloppy, wet snow. God bless you. Thank you for being here at North Rock Church.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.